Hey, good morning, you guys. This is Yvette with the Soul Merge Podcast, your intuitive soul healer, Reiki master, enchantress, and so much more. You can go to my website at enlightenedcoach.net to see all the things that I do. So I was thinking about, what am I going to do my podcast on for this Monday? And I'm here like brainstorming because I do all of this on the fly. It's not scripted. I really don't know what I'm going to talk about sometimes. And sometimes I do. There are times I will write notes and I just kind of just flow with it. I realized that when I try to make it perfect, it just doesn't quite come out right. As much as I like perfection, life isn't perfect, and I just really believe in authenticity. I was looking at some of my old blog posts on my website that I had hidden, meaning the pages were no longer visible, and it really is interesting. I wrote this blog post back in March of 2015. Wow, that's quite some time, right? That's what, 5 years. So I've grown, and it's talking about shadow work. And by the way, if you didn't know, I'm also a shadow work life coach as well. And it's definitely a profound inner, you know, journey that you have to take with yourself when you're doing shadow work. And if you do it right, you can heal. I've had a lot of success in the past with clients that they were stuck and they just couldn't figure out what was going on. And I am so proud to say that I've been able to help so many people. So if you're interested in that, contact me. You can leave questions after the podcast. I'd be more than happy to answer any of your podcasts. Now, of course, we've all heard the whole buzz, shadow work, inner self, you know, Carl Jung. Well, yeah, that's really what it's all about, right? So what is shadow work? In my definition, finding your shadow is a way to explore the inner landscape of yourself and discover the gold that is hiding within you. It is a way to become more of who you really are by facing your pain, your hurt, your fear, your anger, etc., and learn to live more fully by consciously working with ourselves to release our self-limiting beliefs. I believe that it's a way to love ourselves more and respect our journeys from the past, whether we have chosen our journeys or not. And obviously, you know, being born into this world as a baby, we didn't choose the journey. Okay, it doesn't matter. The term shadow was first used by Carl Jung to describe the repressed or denied parts of ourselves. Our shadow consists of finding the resistant vibrations that are within us. Our thoughts and core beliefs is what is creating our vibrations. We can identify our shadows by looking at what we project onto others. What do you find distasteful, disgusting, or despicable in others? By doing the shadow work, it can definitely help you realize that your emotion-based judgments are always projections, and therefore they're rooted in unresolved trauma and/or aspects of yourself you have suppressed. So, let's talk about my blog post. Let's just go back here, and I want to discuss a post that I wrote 5 years ago that was, it was pretty profound for me. It was of a personal nature, and of course I did change some names, and I really, really hit rock bottom with this one, and I just want to share this one with you. and perhaps it will help someone else out there, and it'll give you a better idea of how to do shadow work. You can do it on your own, and then there are some people, they need the guidance, they need the support, because it can be riveting. It really can be. Of course, you guys, you know, again, I'm going to stutter. I may make mistakes. It's all good. We're all here to listen, right? All right, so let's get into it. So here are the shadow work blog posts that I wrote. It was on March 17th of 2015. And I'm actually now going to read it to you guys because it was written. Shadow work. Working on my shadow has been one of the most hardest things I've ever done for myself personally. Every time a situation upsets me, I do my shadow work. I've already explained what shadow work is. The shadow is an aspect of a separate self story that for some reason gets repressed and then projected outwards as the other. The other, quote unquote, is a reflection of our separate self. In other words, the thing or things which we despise in another, again, is within us. We box and embrace shadows. Sounds funny, right? To box a shadow is to repress a negative trait and then experience a strong aversion towards others who possess that trait. To embrace a shadow is to repress a positive trait. I said shape, but it's trait. And then experience a strong attraction towards others who possess that trait. The results of shadow work are often profound, and they create a catalyst for healing. Recently, I worked on my shadow, and it brought a river of tears for me. And with those tears, it brought a realization that lies within my soul, a child waiting to be healed. Inside of both you and I is an inner child waiting to be spoken to and even healed. What's an inner child, you ask? Of course, we all know it's the child that you were growing up. In popular psychology and analytical psychology, the inner child is our childlike aspect. It includes all that we have learned and experienced as a child before puberty. The inner child denotes a semi-independent entity subordinate to the waking conscious mind. What were you like as a child? Do you remember how you felt growing up? How did your primary caretakers make you feel? Where were you when you experienced a life-altering effect of events that actually affected you as an adult? You can write these questions down if you'd like. And that would definitely get you started. Sharing this old post is personal, yet I long to reach out to those of you who have experienced what I have experienced as a child of an alcoholic parent. Lately, I've been worried that a really dear and close friend of mine, and let's just call him Hank, has no time to spend with me due to his extremely demanding career. Now, this person is actually a very big Hollywood person, star. First, I'll start off with my aggravating factor in this situation. Now, mind you, time is very limited for people that are in Hollywood, that are singers, actresses, producers, and whatnot. I knew that time was going to come where there was really, you know, not much time to be spent, and I had accepted that. But then, well, I thought I did, but I was having such a hard time at that time. So again, my aggravating factor, which really made me just so angry and sad at the same time, I feel sad and hurt because I won't see Hank for a long time. And then I ask myself, what does that mean to me? My answer? It means that he is too busy with his lifestyle and career to spend time with me. Next question. Assuming that this is true, assuming that he's too busy with his lifestyle and his career to spend time with me, why would that be so bad? It would be bad because if we don't spend time together, he will forget me. Again, same repetitive question, what does that mean to me? It means that I will obviously be forgettable to Hank. Assuming that this is true, assuming that Hank will forget you, why would that be so bad? It would mean that I am forgettable to Hank. Here's my core belief. I am forgettable. Actually, root belief, I apologize. Same thing, core, root, my root belief. So you see, I'm drilling myself down and down and down until I can't answer anymore the questions that I'm posing to myself. And if you think about it and you listen to what I said, it would mean that I am forgettable to this person. So you see, it really isn't about Hank. It's about me. My root belief is I am forgettable. So the question is, why do I feel forgettable? What's causing this root belief? It's time to speak to my inner child. I must remember the very first time that I felt forgettable. So this is the point where it gets real, you guys. It gets real because you have to strip yourself down. You have to be so honest with yourself. You can do this by yourself or with a trusted person, a coach, someone that does it professionally, but it gets real. Because let me tell you how I was in tears. So back to the very first time that I felt forgettable. And this is where it got riveting. As a young child, I oftentimes witnessed my father come home in a drunken stupor, rebellious and careless. He'd come in as if he was attending some feast of a king. This particular morning, my mother sat at our custom-made glass table. She drank coffee as she normally did, and she ate her wheat toast. It was Roman meal, to be exact. And my mom did pass 3 years ago, and I do miss her dearly. This part of this story here is true. I vaguely remember the words that she uttered to him when he came in. He was drunk, sloppy, just didn't know what he was doing. Honestly, when I look back, I don't even know how he made it home. So I don't remember what she said to him, but I know they contained words strung together that indicated he had been out all night with some, what my mom would say, harlots. And quote unquote, screwing around. As I stood there at the table and watched in horror, my father lifted the table off of the base and slammed it back down, causing each and every piece of glass to shatter on the floor. Now, mind you, back then, and I know that there's glass tables that are still made, but I remember growing up, I had some finer things in life. And this particular table, I remember, was custom made. It was chrome on the bottom, and the glass was like a smoky gray, and it was custom made. It was really big. It was our dining table. And of course, if you lift it up and slam it back down, what's going to happen? It's going to shatter. Okay, it's glass. As my mom sat there, she watched the glass break over her legs. With a blank stare in her face, she calmly got up and headed back to the kitchen. I felt like I was in a movie. It felt so unreal. I felt unreal. No one spoke to me or even glanced at me. Now, mind you, I was probably about, 7, 8 at the most. At that very moment, all was quiet. My mom went into the kitchen and I followed her. Of course, she had to shake the glass off of her nightgown. And as I walked into the kitchen, there stood my mother shaking violently, just like a leaf, because my dad had been verbally and emotionally abusive for years, and the alcoholism really destroyed our family. It did something to each and every one of us individually. As she stood there shaking like a leaf, I remember, just like it was yesterday, she grabbed one of our largest kitchen knives, okay? The ones that you stick in the little wooden thing that, because they're so sharp, you gotta keep them, you know, placed in a good spot. At that age, even I knew what was to follow. My mom gripped that knife so tightly that I could see the veins in her brown skin bulging. At that moment, I felt so invisible. And I'm even getting emotional saying this because it's also real and so true. I felt as if I wasn't there. I was just standing there and just watching everything. My father is in the living room swaying back and forward, not giving to you know what, said he just lifted up an expensive glass table and slammed it. And here's my mom grabbing a butcher knife. I feel at that time, when I look back, she was having a nervous breakdown. I felt so entirely forgotten because my mom was about to kill my father, maybe even herself and I. I remember gently touching her forearm and pleading with her, "Mommy, please don't do it. Please don't do it." At my age, I wasn't fully aware of the ramifications, but I did know without a reasonable doubt that there would be bloodshed. Up until this very moment, in frozen time, I felt invisible. I was forgotten. My touch on my mother's forearm brought her to the realization of the here and now. My touch and my words actually stopped something completely tragic from happening. And as an adult, that realization, even now, it still brings tears to my eyes as I'm sharing this story with you, my friends. I really was forgotten up until that moment. Part of the second phase of my shadow work was speaking to my inner child. I had to ask myself, what was I wearing? Where was I standing? Did I have on shoes? What color were they? And so on and so forth. I had to then introduce to my inner child, the adult me. Which room in the house did I feel most comfortable? I felt comfortable in my room at that time. At 8, 9 years old, I was always happy in my room because I always kept it clean and I had a lot of nice things. It was my sanctuary. So the adult me walks into the scene and introduces myself to my inner child. So let's picture this here. Here I am standing in the kitchen, holding my mom's forearm, my dad in the living room, broken glass on the table, on the floor. Me scared out of my mind, but yet having enough maturity to know that something was wrong. And into the scene comes adult Yvette, walking through the front door. As I close my eyes, and as I see myself, imagine myself walking in and seeing the adult me. It's definitely sort of riveting. It's a shocking kind of feeling. Have you ever done that where you're doing an exercise like this and you're introducing yourself to your adult self? But anyway, I'm going off on the other end, you guys. So I take my child into the room, my inner child into the room where I feel the most comfortable. Adult Yvette proceeds to tell her, my inner child, how strong, beautiful, intelligent, fabulous, vibrant, resourceful, and how memorable I am. I proceed to tell her what I've accomplished in life, how much and how intuitive I am, and how intuitive I was at that age to know that something wasn't right. I comfort my inner child at that time, and I make peace with my inner child. I tell her she's not forgettable. She is one amazing person, full of love. And who can forget such a beautiful being? No one. This is a snippet of the profound progress made when doing shadow work. It's not easy, but it can be done. It opens the doors and lifts your spirits, frees your mind, and unbounds it from self-limiting beliefs. I can go on and on and on about this whole shadow work session I did with myself, but it didn't stop there. It definitely took some work, some affirmations, some rethinking, reprogramming. But now, you guys, look, when I meet someone, or if there's someone in my social circle and, you know, we're hanging out, whatever, male, female, if they're busy, they're busy. If they, you know, don't have time for me, it's all good. I'm going to keep doing what I have to do. I'm not going to be forgotten. I am not unforgettable. I'm very memorable. I know that when I walk into a place, I command attention, and I am not forgettable. And the same should be for you too. But it took quite a while for me to get past that. That was just 5 years ago. We're in 2020 now. So just 5 years ago, I was struggling with the inner child me that felt forgettable. Can you believe that? If any of you guys know me personally, you know the way how I carry on. You know, I am just a goofball sometimes. But I really, really enjoyed sharing this old post with you guys, even though it got me emotional. I know that it's going to help someone out there. If you want to replay the questions I asked myself, please feel free to do so. And I think what I'm going to do is make it available, some of these questions I asked myself. If you find yourself struggling with something that is just getting under your skin, driving you crazy, pissing you off, making you feel sad, and so on and so forth, maybe it's time to stop and do some shadow work. Maybe it's time to stop looking at the person or the situation and pointing fingers. It's time to look within. It's time to look at yourself. Now, I always tell my clients, by all means, it doesn't mean the person or the situation is right. It doesn't make the situation or the other party correct at all. Because sometimes people are just so wrong. So wrong. But how we respond to it makes all the difference. Pay attention to how you respond to situations. If you can reach your inner child and begin the healing, when that situation comes up again, you'll get a little tinge. You may feel what you're feeling, but then you're like, nah, I already know what that's all about. And that is just the shadow work that I have already worked on, and I'm good. If you have any questions or if you'd like to book a shadow work session with me, please feel free to do so. Again, thank you so much for listening. This is Yvette Lewis with the Soul Merge Podcast. Your intuitive soul healer, Reiki master, enchantress, and so much more. Here's to happy listening. Don't forget, leave comments.